And then verse 38, you have another one. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye shall not, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek. Now, to understand this, an eye for an eye, the Jewish law and emphasis was you can exact like payment. He took out my eye, I can take out his eye, but not two. I would be committing a crime if I demanded two eyes. Or if he did some other evil to me and I sought more in revenge. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. A great privilege to bring you the message of God's Word today. And I trust you'll stay with us right through as we come today on the law of the Lord. We are to live up to the standard God has given us, and Jesus came into the world to fulfill the law of God, not to abrogate it, not to set it aside. And Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Let me then read this law of God. When we refer to God's law, it is summarized in the Ten Commandments. And back in Exodus chapter 20, we have the Lord speaking. God spake all these words, saying, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but in the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy servant, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." And that closes the Ten Commandments. And so today we're going to look at this whole matter of not coming to a conclusion that Jesus came to change the law, but rather he said to fulfill it. Stay tuned as we move now to the pulpit ministry of our church. And we stay with the Sermon on the Mount, and we notice how the Lord quoted Old Testament passages, and then he took them a step further, not denying them, not changing them, but his application of them was much more thorough, certainly than any Pharisee had considered till that time. So let's look at a number of these verses here, and it's one of these "ye have sir heard" statements. Verse 21, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." Now, you've heard that. That's true. It's not wrong. "But I say unto you, Now, some people wrongly think that because the Lord adds a but, I say unto you, that he's changing the whole deal. And instead of emphasizing the law, the Lord Jesus was in some way taking away from it, and that this is a negative thing. But I say unto you, but if you look at it carefully, you'll notice that he is applying this murderous act, and he's saying that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. In other words, the thought of murder. Have you ever thought about killing somebody? Have we not all in heart become guilty of anger and rage, and in a moment of hot-tempered frustration, even spewed out life-threatening words against someone? Maybe your husband, maybe your wife, maybe your neighbor. Murder, we are all guilty of the thought of it. Now, the act of it, of course, is what the law of the land can pursue. Now, if you apply that to human life, we're murderers. We're murderers. We think those thoughts. And that's where the Lord Jesus was raising the bar, raising the standard, and pointing out that the moral law of God still stands, and if we understand it spiritually, that it searches our hearts through and through. Even the motives are searched. And as we go down this passage, there's a whole list of these. Look at verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said of them by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. And again the same thing. But I say unto you. Now, he wasn't changing the law, but he was pointing out that you can also commit adultery in your heart. Verse 31, it hath been said, whosoever shall put his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication. So he's raising the standard, not changing the basic code, but he's raising the application. Verse 33, again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth. And then verse 38, you have another one, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek. Now, to understand this, an eye for an eye, the Jewish law and emphasis was you can exact the exact like payment. He took out my eye, I can take out his eye, but not two. I would be committing a crime if I demanded two eyes. Or if he did some other evil to me and I sought more in revenge. But of course, the Lord Jesus, he taught against the whole matter of revenge. And so you quickly see that the Lord brought the meaning of the law right into the level of the motives. And so the Lord Jesus consistently upheld the law of God in this Sermon on the Mount and went into a major defense of it. That's the thing we need to note. It's not something that, well, doesn't really matter. No, this does matter. This is the bedrock, the foundation of the whole law and moral government of God upon the world. And it hasn't changed. And as long as God lives, it will never change. It is eternal. Now, the next heading I have here is Jesus taught that the Jews had destroyed the law by their traditions. Go to verse 20 and you will see that they had really just messed up the whole thing so thoroughly that it was confusion. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. And here is the matter. Here is the issue. Righteousness, God's law, the things that are right and holy and good. And the standard that these Pharisees had dropped to, that it was by no means the righteousness that will lead a person into heaven. Now, there's a key verse to help us in this, And it is that passage we read together in our earlier part of the meeting, Matthew 15 and the verse 6. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. And this whole passage, Matthew 15, 1 to 9, is really a display of the vanity, the pointlessness, the emptiness, if you will, of all that the Jews were so pernickety about. You remember they made judgment about anise and cumin, the smallest little seeds, and they debated all these things back and forth. This was religion to them, and yet they missed the whole point. Look at verse 9. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And so the Lord Jesus made this, the moral law, the benchmark for ministry. The foundation of the whole house is built upon it. And it's the basis of our justification. The righteousness of the Pharisees was just arguments about trivial things. The righteousness that Christ was insisting upon was the holiness of God. And of course, he came to live that. He came to give that to his people, that we might have this gospel message of hope. And that means that Jesus himself lived by the law. He didn't come to destroy it. He didn't come to water it down or to temporarily set it aside. He came to live it. And the whole life of the Lord Jesus, which was such an offense to men, to the Pharisees and scribes, such a painful thing for them to watch because of his godly and holy standard. Galatians 4:4 tells us that he was made under the law, made of a woman under the law. And the Lord was born to live sinless perfection. And if there's ever any person that you can ever apply that term to, sinless perfection, it's our Lord Jesus. He lived, acted, spoke, preached sinless perfection to keep the whole law of God. And you can run down his life and you can study every aspect of Jesus' life. We're told that he was subject to his parents. He honored his mother and father. And if there was a Mother's Day, then the Lord Jesus would have been the best son imaginable to honor his mother and his father. We know that he kept the Sabbath. And while there were those who had issues with him going through the cornfield and plucking the corn here and there and walking distance and so on, all of that was man-made tradition. That was not the law of God. Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man. And the Lord kept the Sabbath, that one day in seven, as a day unto God and properly. We learned here that he preached against adultery. He also taught the necessity of the royal law. My, is that ever a high standard? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself? To love the Lord thy God. Now, that is found in Deuteronomy, of course, Deuteronomy 6:4, that we're to love the Lord our God. That's the law. Loving God is the law. We're commanded to love God. And our gospel, our religion, should be premised upon our devotion, our honor, and our respect for God, and love him with all of our hearts. And Jesus had that testimony. If you turn to Acts 10:38, we have a statement about the life of the Lord Jesus in that early century when they were preaching Christ to the people. Here's what they said about Jesus and his uprightness. Acts 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He pleased his father. He pleased his father. That's the keeping of the law of God. That is the epitome, the high point. That is the apex of loving God and honoring God by giving him our hearts. And how anyone can say that the Lord Jesus was against, destroyed, set aside, temporarily abrogated, the law of God is contrary to all of these things. Now, I want to merely wrap up tonight by saying that the Lord Jesus died under the law to fulfill it for us. The whole gospel is based upon the atoning death, the suffering of our Lord Jesus to satisfy the law. And you remember we had a whole sermon on that from Isaiah 53 on the doctrine of satisfaction. And the death of our Lord Jesus on the cross was a sacrificial offering, payment to satisfy the holiness of God, who must execute exact judgment upon all sin. And our Lord Jesus went all the way to the cross that he would give that offering in our place and in our stead. And he paid it all in full. And if you deny for a moment that Jesus set aside the law, that he negated it in any way, you undermine the whole gospel of the cross and the atoning work that Jesus was out to satisfy the law of God. Now this comes down to us, because I, as a believer in the Lord Jesus, resting on his work for my redemption, I need to know that the law is satisfied. I need to know that God is satisfied. I need to know that I have peace with God, because what Christ offered settled the account. Liberals, of course, would say, well, Jesus just died as an example, and he wanted to show his willingness to suffer for his Father and have a display of love. No, it was fulfilling the law. And in that, our Lord Jesus suffered in our place. Now, there's a couple of texts in Peter, 1 Peter, that I think will help us in this, to emphasize that Jesus' death and his whole atonement was all about the law. 1 Peter, where am I at here? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Now, people stop there and say, well, that's it. He died as an example. That's all it was, an example. Well, it certainly was an example to us in self-denial and willingness to put God first. That's certainly true. But you'll notice in verse 22, it says, who did no sin. And I can't follow that example, because I am already a sinner. My track record in this world is stained with sin. And if I am now just to try and step up and follow Jesus' example, well, I'm a condemned sinner trying to follow one who was perfect. I can't do it. No, the gospel message is that our Lord Jesus did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And there is, in the final death throes of our Lord, meeting righteousness and justice on that cross. 1 Peter 3:18, probably over the page for you there. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. And of course the law comes into that, not to set the law aside, but to fulfill it, to satisfy it, to forever satisfy the law of God, that it can never again fall upon my head. And so that brings the good news of the gospel to us. We have a message, we have a hope, because the blood of Jesus cancels all the wrath of God upon sin, and I am set free on the basis of law, not just love. Oh, it was love, eternal love, amazing love. But all the law of God had to be satisfied. And so in light of that law being kept by our Lord Jesus, and your debt borne by his body, the Lord offers a perfect righteousness to you and me, a clothing of rightness. Let's think about that word righteousness, right-wiseness, God's right ways lived out by the Lord Jesus, given to us. And we have the gospel account of the wedding garment, preparing the sinner for the marriage feast. And if you don't have that garment, you're cast out. The man who tried to enter and sit at the table with no garment was cast out. We need the perfect righteousness of Christ, and he gives that to us. And of course, you have the prodigal son, how he returned and was fully clothed in new garments. And we have offers of mercy and grace unto us. And so we conclude tonight here in Matthew 5. Think not, a preemptive strike. Jesus said it early in his ministry, right from the beginning. Do not think that I am come to destroy, to temporarily or any other way set the law aside, but rather that he was come to fulfill the law, to fulfill. Isn't that great? Doesn't that rejoice your heart? One who could fulfill. No, I can never fulfill the law of God. I try to live light of God's word and truth. But I know that in the holy standard of God, I'm way down here somewhere. And while my desire is to live as godly as I can, every day I fail to meet the mark. I'm a sinner, stained, pathetic. And so I value the righteousness of Christ more and more. And I come back to Murray McShane's statement, for every look at self, take 10 looks to Christ. That's where we find our assurance and comfort for our hearts. And when we recognize the iniquity of our own nature, we begin to rejoice more and more in the loveliness, the beauty of the righteousness, the perfect life and death of our Lord Jesus. Now, how does this impact upon us in the week to come? I realize that we're all doing different things. Alan and I are traveling tomorrow. What are you doing tomorrow? You're going to face the work world or some event or other that you must take your stand for the Lord. How does this impact upon you? It matters how we live. It matters. The law of God is still the rule for the Christian. It is not set aside. Or as Paul put it, shall we sin because grace abounds? Shall we say, well, I know I have liberty, I'm a Christian. Oh, we have liberty to live unto God, but we don't have liberty to sin. That's not the liberty that Christ died for. And so this week, let's pray that God will enable us to apply the law of God to our hearts and delight in it. Get on your knees and pray and say, Lord, I love your law. I love what you've revealed for me to live by. Give me the power to do it. Give me your spirit in my heart. Put that godly spirit in my soul that I will live this out. It will change your walk. Don't lower your standard. Don't compromise. Don't mingle with the ungodly in the world and say, well, it doesn't matter. No, it does matter. Your testimony will be tarnished. Your witness for Christ will be changed. We are ambassadors of a perfect Savior. And we're to reflect that by all the means and all the grace that God gives us. May the Lord help us and may the Lord use us in the week that is to come.
Oh,
Well, what a wonderful thing that we have law and gospel. If it was law only, we would be condemned. But when we have the gospel also, whereby the Lord Jesus, by his perfect life and obedience, fulfilled every requirement of the law and displayed that perfectly when he went to the cross, the Lord Jesus satisfied the broken law. He paid the price to satisfy the justice of God, because the law still stood. The law was not set aside. And when Christ poured out himself as a sacrifice for sin, he was meeting every point of the law perfectly, and he was paying the price due to our sin as he stood in our place vicariously as a substitute for sin and sinners. Well, I hope that this brings some peace to your heart, some joy to your heart, in knowing that salvation is not just by works, but it is by faith in the one who hath redeemed us and fulfilled the law of God for us. And now that we want to please God, well, we seek to keep his commandments and to obey him by the grace and power of our Lord Jesus. I want to thank you for joining with us in the program, and I hope that you join in continually, day by day, and that you will be in touch with us. We do need to hear from our listeners. We look forward to your email, phone call, letter, or joining with us in our church. And all the information for that is coming up now. So may the Lord bless you, encourage your heart, and I trust that today God's Word has been a major help to you. Thank you for joining with us. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.